Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald.
Well, we are so happy to have you join us today for the tradition of our grand celebration service. I also want to invite you to our Christmas Eve candlelight family services. They are truly legendary. And for me, Christmas would not be the same without them. So there's still time, as you've heard earlier today. Take those invitations, put them in the hands of the people that you're praying for and believing for, and invite them to church. Listen, it's never been easier to invite someone to church as it is at this time of the year. And so it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful service. You know, there's so many traditions and stories and movies that bring us joy over this time of the year, things that we repeat over and over again. I know in our family, there's things that we do, stories we tell, movies we watch, and we do those things over and over again. It kind of connects us to our past, connects us to the traditions that are close to our hearts. Movies and stories that promise us angels and miracles and hope during troubled times, which is something that we all need in the day that we're living in. Now, in our home, over the holiday season, usually my wife, because her birthday is on Boxing Day, she gets to choose something for our family to do over the holiday season, usually in the city. Now, way back when our boys were still small, we're going to go out and do something to celebrate Christmas, to celebrate Susan, my wife. And so she said, I really want to go see the Nutcracker Ballet. Now, at the time, I was kind of question mark above my head. I didn't know what that was going to be like, but we decided to go. And you know what? It was spectacular. I mean, unbelievable. The props, the costumes, the lights, the whole production was incredible. It was magical. At one point in the production, the Sugar Plum Fairy comes out in this giant Fabergé egg, and it opens up in the middle of the stage, and the Sugar Plum Fairy comes out and dances around the stage. I mean, it was crazy. To say it now, to explain it, doesn't do it justice, but to be there and experience it in this moment was powerful. Now, I have to admit that at the time, I didn't have a clue what the plot of the Nutcracker Ballet was all about, but there was something strangely familiar about the story. Now, the Nutcracker Ballet is actually based on the story The Nutcracker and the King of Mice, written by E.T.A. Hoffman. And although what we see on the stage today varies and looks a little different than the original story, the basic plot remains the same. It's the story of a young German girl named Clara. Clara is at that age in her life where she's waiting. She's in that in-between stage, waiting for life to unfold, waiting for someone to come along, waiting to understand the world. And she's loved by her very unique godfather, who gives her a very special gift, a nutcracker, my friend who joins me here today. And so he gives this gift, and in the production, and in the story, the nutcracker comes to life. And the Nutcracker battles the evil Mouse King, only to die in that battle. However, the loving Godfather resurrects the Nutcracker, who then takes Clara to his kingdom to the celebration of all who have awaited his return. Doesn't that sound a little familiar? Sounds vaguely like a story that we know, the gospel story, the greatest story of all time. The story of a father who sent his son into the world out of his great love for fallen, sinful mankind. The son who would willingly lay down his life because of that same love for man. And then a father who would resurrect that son and open up a path to eternal life and someday to the king's return. Well, that leads us today to our next episode of the King Has Come message series that we've been walking through as we've been looking at the powerful titles that the prophet Isaiah spoke of when describing the coming Messiah. And so we went through each week what this looked like. Today we talk about Everlasting Father. Now, we've covered Wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, but now the prophecy in referring to Jesus as Father gets very personal for us. Isaiah 9, verse 6, the prophet says, "For unto us a child is born," talking about Jesus, "unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Now all of a sudden, Jesus is being described as Father. And so it gets very, very personal at this point. Now, this personal reference in Isaiah's prophecy will mean different things to different people, especially in an audience our size, both here in the auditorium and for those watching from home. Now, for myself, for me, it brings warm memories as I think of the term Father. But that's not the case for everyone today. Being a father myself, I think I can relate to the fact that it's not an easy job. You know, we have our share of challenges. But unfortunately, over time and in different situations, some fathers have allowed their own hurt to hurt others, especially those that they should be loving and protecting. But regardless of your relationship with your earthly father, regardless of how you view that term or what it makes you feel like, I think we all tend to project what we think of as father onto our everlasting father. I don't think we do it intentionally. I think it's just automatic when we hear that term. So we need to be careful. We need to be careful to not view the two through the same lens. Perhaps the words, "I love you," or "I'm proud of you," maybe those terms were not things that you heard in your home growing up. Maybe it was like a carrot on a stick kind of dangled in front of you, and you just couldn't seem to reach out and take hold of it. I think it's very important to see our everlasting Father for who he really is in order to experience that relationship the way that it was created to look. Full of joy, full of acceptance. You know, when our boys came into the world as little babies, whether I was ready or not to be their dad, I was. For those of you that are fathers, you know the same to be true. They hand that little scrunched up bundle of joy, and you're like, "Okay, I'm your dad. Let's see where this goes." But you know what? I was thankful. I was thankful at the time that I had a father in my own life who would serve as an example. He certainly wasn't perfect, but I always knew that he loved me. I always knew that he believed in me, that he prayed for me, and that he would always be there for me, no matter which path I chose. Similarly, I committed myself to do the same for my own boys. Again, I'm not perfect either, but I will always love them. I will always believe in them. I will always pray for them, and I will forever be in their corner. Nothing will ever change that. Now, obviously, we all have our own stories, but just for a moment, let's kind of set them aside for just a minute and give Jesus, our everlasting Father, the opportunity to reveal who he really is. Let's not look at him through the lens of our earthly father. Let's not see him that way. Let's look at him through the lens of Scripture. Because when we do, when we read about who he is and this book comes to life, suddenly we're going to see an everlasting Father that maybe in your life you've never seen before. The first thing we see in Scripture that our everlasting Father is compassionate. He's full of love. Scripture paints this very clear picture of a Savior who is deeply compassionate. Despite all our shortcomings, no matter what we do, no matter how we veer off course, he still has this incredible love for us. Psalm 103, verse 8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love." Nothing we can do or work at will ever earn that love, the love of our everlasting Father. And that's liberating, at least it is for me. Because I think that I can't live this perfect life no matter how hard I strive and try to make it all happen and do just what's right. I don't have to do those things to earn his love. He already loves you right now more than you can ever imagine. And so that helps us, I think, it should, from stopping to strive. And then we just learn to rest in that compassion. Now, going to church, learning to pray, reading your Bible, these are all very important things to help develop you as a disciple of Christ. But they won't earn you more stars in his book. It won't cause him to love you any more than he does right now. He loves you just as much today as he ever will. And that's why he laid down his life for you. That's why he gave everything he had so that you could experience that abundant life, so that you could stop dragging around all that weight that sometimes we carry with us. And we finally lay it down at the foot of the cross and we rest in him. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Finally, true rest. How many of us today, and we talked about it last week, are just feeling, as this year comes to an end, tired, exhausted. Not just because of the work that we're doing physically, but mentally and emotionally, everything that we see and experience, everything that we're going through as a city, as a nation, and as a citizen of the world. It's exhausting. And one thing seems to jump upon another. So we need to stop living or trying to live perfect in the midst of the brokenness that surrounds us. We need to live lives that glorify God, knowing that he accepts you just the way you are. I think when my life was forever changed, when I said yes to following him, it was because I recognized just that. That right now in my messed up state, he loves me. He created me. And he looked past my weakness, he looked past my mistakes, he looked past the brokenness, and he saw the potential that lay deep within me. And that is incredible. Again, he can't love you any more or any less than he already does. So just rest, because he is forever compassionate. The next thing that we see is our everlasting Father, he cares. When we look at Jesus, our everlasting Father, through the lens of Scripture, you're going to see a king who cares. He knows you by name, and not every king knows his subjects by name, but our king does. He's not angry with you. He will never hurt you. That is a promise. As a matter of fact, this is what it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Your Father, your everlasting Father, will never harm you. And he has plans to give you hope and a future." Listen, that's the heart of the everlasting Father for you. When you have a hope, you have a future. That's why fires, floods, and new variants will never, ever have the last word in our lives. Those might be challenging things that we all need to weather together. But they will never change, they will never cancel the future that God has created in advance. The King of Kings has planned for you a great future, one that will prosper you and fill your heart with hope. And knowing that truth, listen, that's fuel for the hope that he's placed within us. And it gets us up again day after day after day. And it causes us to push through all those obstacles, because those obstacles will always be there. And although the obstacles we face will continue to change over and over, he will not. The king will never change. And then finally, our everlasting Father is always there. He's always there. So when we look at him through the lens of Scripture, we see Jesus, this everlasting Father who is incredibly compassionate, who's caring beyond all that we can comprehend. And then we realize that he will always be there for us. And right now, when sometimes it seems that things are kind of getting worse before they get better, we need to know that the King has come to take you through whatever it is that you're facing. And no matter how dark it gets, he will be there with you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, the last time I looked, the definition of never is never. It's never. It's never going to change. And you can hold on to that. The King has come to show you compassion and love. The King has come to care for you and to give you hope. The King has come to forgive you and save you, and he will never, ever leave you. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I'd love to pray for all of you today. And on this special service, this tradition of our grand celebration service, I know that all of us are going through different things, and we may walk through those in different ways, but God is here for each of us in the midst of this moment. So as every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just in respect for those that are making decisions right now in this room, I want to ask this morning if there's those of you that would say, Pastor Steve, would you pray for me? If you're watching from home, would you pray for me this morning? That you would know Jesus as your everlasting Father. Maybe for the first time. And there's some of you that have known him that way and walked with him, but it's become a struggle. It's become hard to navigate. And usually that happens when we step out of his strength and into our own. But this morning I want to pray for you too. This morning I want to pray for those of you that would say yes to Jesus for the first time. And those of you that would say, Lord, help me to find my way home. If that's you today, and as your head is bowed all over this auditorium, if you'd say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer, lift up your hand nice and high so I can see it. You can drop it back down. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just lift your hand up nice and high so that I can see it. And I'd love to pray for you today. Lift it up nice and high. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you, ma'am. Lift it up nice and high so that I can see it. And you can drop it back down. I want to involve you in this prayer, and I don't want you to miss this moment. Say yes. It will change your Christmas. It will change your life. If that's you today, go ahead and lift up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. That's wonderful. As your head is bowed, your eyes are closed, let's pray together. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your compassion. Father, I pray for those that are coming to know you today for the first time. And I'd ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I recognize you today as my everlasting Father. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. And fill me with hope and the knowledge that you love me, you care for me, that you'll always be there for me. In Jesus' name. And for those of you that are coming home, that are making that trek back, maybe you've got off course, I pray today in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would welcome them home, that they would experience your love in such a powerful way, and that they would walk with you, and that through your power, you would give them a future that is filled with hope. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. Now, if that was you today, I want to encourage you to grab one of those yellow cards in the seat pocket in front of you. It says, I have decided on the front of it. Fill that out. Drop it off at our Welcome Center. We'd love to get you some resources to help you in your walk with Christ. And if you're watching online, go onto our website, jump on there, send an email to us, and let us know the same decision. And we'd love to pray for you and help you.